cover me with the blood of Jesus and bind my heels and the soul of my feet flesh. And that you may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's a small world. I heard Kevin say that he was in Memphis. I was in Memphis also. I flew through Memphis. We probably might have crossed paths and didn't know it. It's a mighty small world. Yes, indeed. The text I'll be preaching from today is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let me know when everybody reads. You just say amen.
Amen.
All right, you may stay seated as I read the text. It said, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increases, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, as Kevin said earlier, he read John 3:16, so whoever should believe, and believe meaning having faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Now, when you look at the book of Proverbs, Proverbs itself is a course of instruction in wisdom, the preparation of life in the ways of life in God's world. Proverbs itself was written on wisdom literature by the Hebrews. The wisdom literature was based on the content of their own faith in the Lord. So therefore, today we are talking about faith as we read Proverbs 3. I'm going to do it a little different today. First, I'm going to break down the verses. Then I'm going to do the introduction. Then I'm going to apply it as we go forth, because I want to make sure that everybody is on the same page with the content going forward. Now, when you look at the text itself, this is a father talking to his son. His son was getting ready to go out in the world, and he was preparing him for ways of life in God's world. And this is very important today. As we go through things, even though we know the Bible, we still have to be reminded when we go through situations of what it is that we were taught and the foundation that we believe in to get us through these situations. And he was telling him in verses 1 through 4, he said, never forget what you have been taught. And he was referring to God's word. And this is the father's action to a son. And some of you all may wonder, say, well, why is it to the son? Because the son back in Hebrew times was the head of the household. That's why Joshua said, me and my house will serve the Lord. Joshua was speaking for his whole household, knowing that he was accountable for his household. And he was telling him, said, do not forget God's laws. To remember God's laws is to obey God. So it is the forgetfulness of the heart, not failing of the memory. And I know you were wondering why. You said, well, why is it so important about my heart forgetting? Everything goes through your heart. That's why God sees your
heart
and not your
mind.
It said, keep God's commandment. To keep means to guard or preserve. So you need to preserve what you have learned about God's word. His commandments is his word. So you must keep God's word, preserve it, and guard it in your life at all times. The place for the commands to be secured in the heart. Anytime you do anything, you secure it in the heart. All life flows from the heart. The father instructs his son to lock God's commandment in his heart. If you lock his word in your heart, you will not forget them. Where everything in his life will flow the rest of his life. And I'm preaching this because I see how people get stressed out today. And if we lock God's word in our heart, we wouldn't be in situations that we're in today.
Amen.
Because we could always go back and remember what we have locked away in our heart that all life flow through. I see people that situation get the best of them. They get frightened, they go running astray, but forget what they have been taught. So, but you got this father preparing his son before he go out in the world on what he need to do. So if a lot of us are forgetting today, it makes you think, well, we taught this as a child. Are we teaching our children this today? Are we putting this foundation in our kids so they can be ready for life in God's world? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, but it is the wellspring of life. Now, when it speaks of my law in the Torah, the Hebrew word for God's law is his holy word. So God's holy word is what? His law. My commandments also use primarily of God's law. God's commandment was his what? Holy word. I'm breaking this down to put us all on the same page before I move forward. Now, what the Father teaches carry the full authority of heaven. Obedience to these commands open the wonders of heaven for God's blessing to be poured down upon a person's life. So what the Father teaching is what? Obedience for his son. If you obey God's word, if you keep God's word, he's telling him all he needs to be successful in life. Now verse 2 tells us God will bless the person who obeys his holy word with prolonged life. It goes on to verse 3 and 4 said, mercy and faithfulness, which is love and faithfulness. These are two basic covenant terms to Israel. Love is essential fidelity to obligations arising from a relationship. So if you love God, which means you must be in a relationship with God. Because I hear a lot of people use that word love. They use it so frequently and so loosely, I wonder do they really know what it means. So if you love God, you will what? Obey God.
Amen.
So faithfulness is essentially that which can be relied upon, that which is stable. But then he went ahead and he broke it down. He said, wear these around your neck like a precious jewel. Now, there was something important about wearing it around his neck in the Hebrew terms and language. The neck houses the throat, which in Hebrew is the very life of the person. Every breath you take must come through your throat. So if you wear this around your neck, every breath you take is essential upon your life. Therefore, you are to wear it around your neck like your very life depended upon it.
Amen.
Now you have to start thinking, say, am I doing these things that way? So there is nothing you can do in life that a breath will not come through your throat. So when you wear this around your throat like a necklace, everything you do depends upon this. He was teaching his son some deep stuff.
Amen.
But also, verse 3, to write them in our hearts. God instructed the children of Israel to his commandments as a symbol on their wrists and foreheads. In Deuteronomy 6 and 8, God originally inscribed the stone, the laws on the stone, but he told them to wear it on their wrist and forehead, but he told us to write it upon our heart. So if everything in your life goes through your heart, you write his commandments upon your heart, how could you forget them? I just want to take us back to the basics today. Sometimes we need to go back to the basics in order to know where we come from to get where we're going to. Now, verses 5 and 6, the best known and most memorized verses in Proverbs. At this point, the father emphasizes keeping the commandments of God. He instructs his son not to focus his trust in the law of God, but the God of the law. See, some of us get so caught up on following God's word, like the children of Israel did. They followed the laws, but they did not believe in God. We know the scriptures, we repeat the scriptures, but we don't believe in the God of the scriptures.
That's right.
We lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. So a lot of us run around here and comply with the scripture, but you're not believing in the God of the scriptures. Kevin was singing it every time he sung a song. He was singing about believing in God. Every song he sung, I was sitting there listening this morning. If you do not believe in God and to follow his word, it's useless. Because a lot of us sometime today, we don't take time to read the word. We go to the glossary because it's so handy. We flip through and look up stuff and try to find stuff that applies to us and try to make it fit our situation. But the father's telling the son here, as long as you do these things right here, you're going to be okay in life. So no matter what situation you're going through, as long as you do these things right here, you will be okay in life. I'm not saying you're going to be a millionaire, but you won't go lacking for nothing. Now we have to recognize that our understanding, because it tells us to trust in the Lord and lean not towards our own understanding, our understanding is not trustworthy. You can't trust yourself. If you could trust yourself, you wouldn't end up in a lot of situations that you have experienced throughout your life. You can't say that I can put this thing down and not come back to it, whatever it might be, your habit might be, your shortcoming might be. If you can put it down by yourself, what's to stop you from picking it up? Or the bad relationships that you've been in. You couldn't leave Jimmy alone or Sue alone because she was in your head. You thought it was in your heart. See, there's a reason why people should not fornicate when they're not married. Because you intertwine the spirits, and then that person gets in your heart and gets in your head, and you can't do without it. That's why marriage is for married people. It's the intertwining and mixing of the blood. The blood is sacred. And it goes on to tell us about a person who fears the Lord cannot be wise in his own eyes. Wisdom comes when we humble ourselves and realize that we need a power and wisdom higher than ourselves. And if we wish to conquer the challenge of life, we have to cry out to God at some point in time in our lives. And what do I mean by cry out? I mean to pray. Praying is essential. A lot of us, we pray, but we wonder why our prayers never go any further than the rooftop. But that's another sermon. But we have to cry out to God. And verse 8 said the word help is derived from the word heal. And it is used only here in the Old Testament in verse 8. The image here in Proverbs is the healing of giving nourishment and strength that flows from the mother's body through the umbilical cord to her preborn baby. So here what is taking place is God communicate with us through our spirit to feed our soul. That spirit is a connection because God is spirit. It's like an umbilical cord that feeds and nourishes us. And verse 9 and 10 is one of the verses I like to always talk about. And it's a verse that is so misunderstood in a lot of people's spiritual life and growth. It's honor when people give him their first and their best. When the Bible calls the first fruit, to give him what is left over is less than the best does not glorify God. God commanded the children of Israel to bring him the first of all he had blessed them with. It was a token of their gratitude to the Lord for his blessings. It proclaimed the knowledge of God as the source of all things. The fact that all belonged to God as he was the owner of it all. So when we give our first fruit, we're acknowledging God for blessing us with what we have. A lot of people use it in wrong content, but now that we're all on the same page, let's move a little further in the sermon. You know, when I was going to school, we used to take what was called an open book test. In the open book test, people always thought it was easier than the rest of the tests. They said, well, if I do this open book test, I ought to be able to pass it. But little did they know, when they was doing an open book test, it is something totally different. An open book test usually consists of your notes, reading, references, materials, or textbooks, equipment like calculators. And why am I preaching about an open book test today? Because your life is like an open book test. When you experience things in your life, and if you come back to Proverbs 3, what the Father was telling the Son, if you remember to do these things, when you're going through your open book test in life, you're going to be all right. And see, little did we know an open book test was deeper than we thought. You thought you could just bring the material in and pass the test. But when you brought the open book test material in, you had to be able to have a discipline about it. You had to be able to evaluate, analyze, and apply the material that you had. Otherwise, you couldn't pass that test. So an open book test is one of the hardest tests that you could take. Sometimes you would take it in class, and sometimes the professor would say you could take that open book test home, Reverend Hawkins, and bring it back to class. And what you would do is try to take the shortcuts. You would try to look up the words in the glossary like we do with the Bible sometimes today. Instead of knowing the word, as the Father told the Son, we try to shortcut and find the word in the content we think that applies to our life. So when we took that open book exam, and I know some of you all probably said, well, I never took one because I'm too old. But see, Adam and Eve was the first one to have an open book exam because it was tested in the Garden of Eden. Now, God had already gave them the instructions. He said, do not eat from the tree of life. Eve had her material right there because Adam was right there who also heard the same thing. Amen. But Eve didn't look to the material that she had or the witness that she had. Instead, she took a bite of the apple. Now, in life, we all have these open book tests. And a lot of times when we go through the situation, we forget to come back to what we were taught. That's why being taught God's word, being obedient, trusting in God with all your heart, and giving God your first fruit will take you through anything that you're dealing with. When you're dealing with this open book exam. Because when you're dealing with problems, see, we forget what God tells us when we're dealing with problems. We don't evaluate it. Back in the old time, God said in the Old Testament, I will make your crooked path straight. But do you know what that means? What the king did when he was going on the long trip, he had people run out before him and remove all the barriers and obstacles in the road so that the path would be straight. So what God does is go before you and move all your barriers and obstacles out of your way so your path would be straight. He take you through your valley lows. He take you above your mountain highs. Even though weapons are formed against you, they will not prosper because God moved these things out of your path to make your barrier, crooked path, straight. So when you run into these problems, go back to what you were taught. You may not find anything in the Bible that mentions your situation. But if you be obedient to God's word,
amen.
If you trust in the God of the word, if you pay your first fruits, there's nothing God will bring you through. And sometimes when we go through open book exams, we try to bring everything except the kitchen sink. Like the lady with the issue of blood, when she had that issue of blood. See, a lot of people really don't see this lady. Technically, she suffered more than Job. If not more than Job, just as much. Because Deuteronomy 4 told us that if she had this sickness, her husband could divorce her if she was married. If she had this sickness, she could not touch even her own children if she had them. If she had the sickness. She went and tried every doctor that she could try in this open book exam. She brought everything, but none of it worked. So when you face with a situation like this, what all do you bring to the table to deal with it? I want you to think this morning. Because we as Christians, we're taking too many blows. We're giving up too easily. We're throwing the towel in as though God does not exist. I hear more Christians crying now than standing up and believing. It was only her faith. What this woman did was, she couldn't have been from that area because they would have stoned her if they knew her. They would have killed her on the spot. She had exhausted everything she had. The only thing left was for her to believe in the God of the Word. Her situation was nowhere in the Bible because it only addressed in the laws what to do after the cycle stopped. It didn't address what to do if the cycle continued. You ever been in a situation like that? So all she could do was, she heard that Jesus was passing by. She heard the things that Jesus had done. She pushed through the crowd to touch his garment. Now Jesus did something that he never did anywhere else in the Bible. He stood there and spoke as though he was God. And he called her daughter. And he acknowledged her on the spot. So when people come to the church and they're hurt and they need care, they need to be acknowledged on the spot. And he healed her on the spot. She was trying to not be noticed, but he made her situation known because her faith moved him. Now, this was a lady that didn't know the word. She wasn't taught like a young child was being, son was being taught. She just believed. And her faith moved God. So open book exams, they may be hard. They may consist of situations you've never seen. You may have to apply different things because every time you introduce a new variable, it changes the outcome. That's what we call conflict management. But here we had this woman that brought everything and only needed one thing, and that was faith. But as we look on in the text about Jesus, Jesus came, and the first thing that happened, he was tempted by Satan. After he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, but the first thing he said was that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what Jesus did at that point was tie the word of God around his neck and wore it as a necklace. Every breath he took depended upon the word of God because there was nothing else stronger. He had not eaten. He didn't have anything else but God's word. Later on, he went to the synagogue and reminded them as he stood up. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," which was a year of jubilee. Here we have Jesus practicing what was being taught to the child in Proverbs 3. Jesus being obedient to God's word by following God's word, now believing in God's word and trusting in the word of the Lord. As Jesus stood before them, but later on, he was punished for his belief. I'm not going to say that you're not going to go through some things. I'm not going to say that life is going to be like a bowl of cherry, because even cherries have pits. I'm not going to say everything is going to be pretty, because sometimes we know everything look good is not good for you. But what I'm here to tell you today is if you believe in God, he can take you through any situation if you are obedient to his word. Because Samuel told Saul that obedience was better than sacrifice. So here we have God, Jesus, depending on God. He's telling the people that only knew the law and knew nothing about God, he's standing in front of them and proclaiming the gospel. Everybody thought he was in opposition of what they believed. So I'm here to tell you, sometimes you might be in situations that nobody can understand you. Nobody can relate to you. Nobody can identify with you but God. And as we know, as Kevin said, Jesus bore our sins. He took sins for years to come. But he did the same thing that we have to do. Be obedient to God's word. Trust in the word and the God of the word. He didn't do anything different. Nothing that he did was different. So in your open book test, which is your life, these experiences that you go through, you have to carry your own cross. And sometimes your cross could be different things. It could be a relationship. It could be your job. It could be your health. It could be somebody else's health that you're caring for. But you must carry your own cross. And it won't be easy, but remember, God has made your crooked path straight. I had to teach this word this morning because it was a lot just to preach. 10 verses, these verses are deep. They go way beyond what we think. A lot of people just look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But 1 through 10 says so much. So I'd like to open the doors of the church at this time. If there's anyone that does not know God, then pardon of your sin. Let me make it short. Is there anyone here that does not know God? Anyone here that is not a Christian? Amen. But I would like to, if it's okay with Brother Kevin, if anyone would like prayer, would like to do an altar call, would like to come together and pray as one. Because as Brother Kevin said, when two or three together, he's in the midst. Amen. If we could come together at Wise, join hands, and have an altar call. I pray because I know, as Paul stated, everywhere Paul went, Paul always solicited prayer. Yeah.